We need to talk a bit about OK Pop in Tulsa, because you are the architect of that, not necessarily of the building, but the idea.
I can talk more about the early days of it. Of course, I've been gone 2 years and 3 months now, so I'm a little bit removed from it, from what's going on right now. But it really started with an exhibit that we did here at the History Center on the history of rock and roll in Oklahoma. And I think we probably interviewed you. I don't know, you may have been at the opening, but we reached out to the radio community, the disc jockeys, who helped bring rock and roll to Oklahoma.
Well, let me just tell you, you put the album, the Tulsa Mountain Song album, in your exhibit. And you don't know how proud I have been to stand and look at that through the glass window and tell people in Tulsa that we are in your exhibit.
I forgot about that conversation. I called you to interview you, and you told me about that very creative program. I said, that is too good. That is too cool. I cannot finish this museum without that. Thank you. And you even gave me one of the albums, covers.
But I digressed a moment there. Now, so anyway, you did this on radio, and then the journey began for OK Pop.
Yeah, we did the history of rock and roll. That's, you know, we had all the stars. That's when I meet the Steve Ripleys of the world and the Wanda Jacksons. It turned out beautifully. Jim Halsey from Tulsa became a good friend during all that. He pulled in the Roy Clarks of the world and Janet Jay. My list of friends really grew in the entertainment industry. On both sides, the creative side, the production side, even the promotional side. So learning about all this, we then do an exhibit on country and hee-haw. That's when I met a different set of friends. Gaylord Sartain, one of the most gifted people come out of Oklahoma, and eventually got to meet with him in his house and help, you know, transcribe all of his video collections that go back in his career. But we do this exhibit, creative exhibit on rock and roll, country and western, hee-haw. As we're doing all of it, wait a minute, there's something here. People are really responding to this story, pop culture. So we start incubating this idea of pop culture. Well, on a parallel track, as I'm working at the Historical Society as a historian, administrator, politician, one of the weaknesses we had is I could not go to anybody in Tulsa to get their support, because, as I call it, time the state of Tulsa kind of feels like they're really not part of this alien state of Oklahoma. It's different, and it is. I've got an entire lecture about the state of Tulsa, and at one point people wanted to annex themselves to Kansas, you know, get out of this crazy state of Oklahoma. But we had nothing in Tulsa. I'm all around it. We had Phillips Home in Bartlesville. I have Fort Gibson to the south. We have a site in the Osage I'm working on, Cherokee Nation. But there's a black hole in terms of support and collections. Collections drive me. So I thought I'd always wanted to do something in Tulsa. I'd reached out to the head of the Tulsa County Historical Society. They not only did not help, they kept us out. I found out later from others. I said, yeah, I wanted to come in. Oh, no. Well, finally, Clayton Vaughn, who you know, longtime broadcaster in Tulsa, is named executive director of the Tulsa Historical Society. And they want to get out of the old Gilcrease home and do something better. So they get a contract. They get enough support in the community to get the old Travis Mansion there on Peoria and start working on it. Well, of course, they reach out to me. Can you help? I say, yeah, I want to help. The only thing I want out of this, other than you to be successful, I want offices there. I want to have a place to serve the people of Tulsa with historic preservation, with how to do oral history, with how to tell your family story and publish books and do research. I says, I need a home base to reach out to the people of Tulsa and to serve them better than we are now. We're serving the rest of the state. I'm underserving this. And of course, I'd said that in the legislature for years. Well, so that's part of this idea. I need to be in Tulsa with some kind of institutional base, pivot point, and I want something on pop culture. Well, those two things came together. And by this time, I'd done enough with the legislature. I understand the political process. I know the collectors. And I'm meeting these people in Tulsa. You say, we need to do a museum in Tulsa. Well, I get a call one day from Ken Levitt. I said, Ken Levitt, who are you? Well, he said, well, I work for the Kaiser Family Foundation. And my boss, George Kaiser, wants to get the Woody Guthrie archives for Tulsa. I said, really? That's curious, because I'd worked with the Woody Guthrie family. We did an exhibit in the old historical building with the Smithsonian, with the Woody Guthrie. So that's when I met Woody Guthrie's surviving sister, who later passed away. I got to know Nora, got to know the entire family. So Ken calls me and says, we know you did this exhibit, and the family's talked about what they did with you. Would you help us? I said, sure, I'll help. We need that in Oklahoma. So Ken and I meet, and we meet in a restaurant there on right off of Archer, and we sit at a table. I've told Ken I'm going to put a plaque on. It's where all this begins. And he says, I need your help. And I said, I need your help. And he says, what can you do? So we start working on the Woody Guthrie idea of collections coming to Tulsa. And I had already worked, I was chairman of the Tulsa Race Riot Commission, as we called it then, in 98 and 99. So I got to know the community somewhat. I'd done enough projects there where I knew it. My family's from Clintermore, so I knew that I could always introduce myself. I'm from the Tulsa area. You know, everyone starts every speech with, oh, yeah, I've got a brother who lives here. I'm from here. But anyway, I'd been doing all those speeches, and we get to the point, and I say, I need the museum you want us here. We start working together on the idea. It elevates the George Kaiser. I'll never forget the first meeting with him. We walk into his office. I've got two staff members, and I know body language, so I know George is going to sit here, so I sit down, so I'd be right next to him. So we're just right here, face to face. And I need to be able to keep my staff out of it, because I'm a salesman. And you know, how do you close the deal and avoid a no? I always learned in sales. And so we're sitting there. He's got a map of Tulsa with probably a 200 yellow stickies everywhere. Man, and I'd already talked to Burns Hargis, a friend of mine. You know, I'm going to be meeting with your boss. Help me understand. And so Burns helped, and I was studying a little bit. Well, first thing, Mr. Kaiser comes in and sits down, and he says, okay, Dr. Blackburn, I've kind of looked into what you've done. How many museums have you got in the state? I said, 30-some. He said, how many in Tulsa? It's like a direct, you know, let's put on the boxing gloves. I say, zero, and let me tell you why, Mr. Kaiser. The state of Tulsa has kept us out of Tulsa. I've tried, and I mentioned off some of the things I tried to do to serve the people of Tulsa better. I said, I'm over here all the time giving speeches and helping with groups. And Ed Lawson, name just came to me, the kind of the godfather raising money. I says, I've told Ed I want to be here, and it just hasn't worked out. I says, you want a museum here? I need a museum on popular culture. If we pull this off, we're doing what each of us want. You get a state facility in Tulsa. I get a museum on popular culture. Tulsa is the epicenter of the entertainment industry in Oklahoma. It's a place that's got to be. And so we agree that day we're going to move forward. And then the rest of the story is we took several years to get a bond issue, which we finally did. Speaker Hickman is the one who let the blood. Pro Tem Bingman bled all over this, but they got it through. We got the bond issue. But again, like the History Center, not what we needed. We needed $47 million. We got 25. And it turned out that 25 came from the fact that they were trying to get rid of the Indian Center funding through the state, that's now a Chickasaw project. And that was 25. So they say, hey, if we're doing 25 there, we'll do 25 here, Oklahoma City and Tulsa. It's that old turnpike rivalry that drives me nuts. So we had 25 for it seems like it was late or high 30s and millions. Well, can we do it? Another decision. Do we start without the money or not? We said, we got to get started. And we got a corporate sponsor. We think we can raise the money. So the bond issue is authorized. I hire the director, Jeff Moore, and we start working out of Oklahoma City, but then rent space for collections. Steve Ripley is our guru. I love Steve Ripley. He passed away before we could open, but Steve was this radio genius. He wanted to be a radio disc jockey, yeah, like you, probably about the same generation.
And we have his story on Voices of Oklahoma.
Good. And Steve and I had already produced a multi-part history of rock and roll in Oklahoma that aired on PBS.
Yeah.
And it ran a couple of times. It was so popular. Just brilliant work. So we've got the folks, and we're building collections and making progress, hire the architects. But we run into recession. We run into people saying, well, if Mr. Kaiser's behind it, you don't need us. And the fundraising effort really falters, and the pandemic hits. And that just sets us back on our heels. We could keep the construction going with the help of really good firms like Manhattan. But the fundraising failed, and I retire just after all this begins, and we lose some momentum. But Trake Thompson, a director who took my place, and Jeff Moore and a new group and Vince Gill's help, I'm very optimistic that we will raise the money that will match some more state funds. We as taxpayers in all parts of the state need to invest in the story of Roger Miller from Western Oklahoma. Yeah. We need to invest in the story of Gaylord Sartain from Tulsa. Yeah. We need to do these things. So all the taxpayers should involve. But Tulsa's going to get the main benefit, so Tulsa will match. We'll raise some money outside. But I'm sure that this thing will open. It will be a good example of the partnership is that the Bob Wills family. I was with Carolyn, his daughter, and Andrea, granddaughter, just a couple of weeks ago at the Cowboy Hall. I'm driving to Fort Worth tomorrow to meet with Andrea. They've stuck with us for 12 years since they said the OK Pop will be the home of the Bob Wills legacy. Not just the music, but the memory of Bob Wills the man. His roots in Red River culture, cowboy culture, folk music, jazz, blues, of the importance of the radio stations, the importance of movies. And they said, you're the people that can do it best. They committed to me personally and the Historical Society 12 years ago. Here we are, no museum. We have his bus, his touring bus. We have his collections, but no building yet. We've got to finish the building. Trey and Jeff can do that and get this thing open here, hopefully in a couple of years.
It's right now built right across from Keynes, which is a perfect place for it to be.
The History Center allowed us to rebrand the Oklahoma Historical Society. We were the Hysterical Society before 2005. The minute this opens, most people introduce me as the director of the Oklahoma History Center. I didn't correct them. This is our new brand. This is our new image. This is what we can do. Public-private partnerships, reaching out, higher standards. We can do that, yeah. And we can do that with a pop.
So you have Oklahoma Historical Society, which is the umbrella then over the Oklahoma Center that we're sitting in right now, and then all the museums.